Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to the show today. In our study of Acts chapter 16, we've been taking a look at Paul's setting out from Antioch on a second missionary journey, one that was aimed at strengthening all the churches that he had founded on his first missionary journey. And so naturally, he wants to take Barnabas with him, because Barnabas had been with him on that first missionary journey and was such an encouragement. That's what his name means, son of encouragement. That name was given to him by the apostles. But Barnabas insists that John Mark also come. And remember, Paul didn't think that was a good idea because of how John Mark had abandoned them on that first missionary journey. And so they have a sharp disagreement about this, and they end up splitting up. Barnabas and John Mark, they go to Cyprus, which is where Paul and Barnabas had entered into Asia Minor on their first trip. But with Barnabas and John Mark going there, Paul chooses instead to enter Galatia from the opposite direction, traveling through Syria and Cilicia. And that may seem like an arbitrary decision, and it may have been to Paul. But we'll see in a few moments how God was really at work in an amazing way in and through that decision. Syria was the region around Antioch, and the neighboring region of Cilicia contained Paul's home city of Tarsus. And so many of its churches had no doubt been founded by Paul himself. And as Paul and Silas traveled through these areas, they were very busy with their number one priority, which was strengthening the churches. Now, as they crossed the rugged Taurus Mountains through the Cilician gates north of Tarsus, the missionaries came to Derbe and to Lystra. Paul and Barnabas had visited these cities on the first missionary journey, and Lystra had been the scene of some remarkable events. It was there that Paul had healed a lame man in chapter 14. And in response, the astonished crowd, they proclaimed that these two missionaries were gods. And following that, Paul had been stoned nearly to death by these jealous Jews from Antioch and Iconium who just pelted him with stones after getting the crowds to rise up against them. Now, if it were me, I'd be a little nervous coming back to Lystra. But as for Paul, the mission of reaching people, it always trumped any kind of concerns for his own personal safety. Like we talked about recently, he always felt that weight of glory, that burden for people who were lost and needed Jesus. And so unless God said otherwise, he was going to go. You know, sometimes when we choose to show courage, to obey God, even in the midst of fear or danger, that God often rewards us. And we definitely see that here, because while they're at Lystra, the missionaries were joined by a certain disciple named Timothy. And this young man, Timothy, who was probably in his late teens or early 20s at this time, he would come to play a very key role in Paul's life. He would eventually become his right-hand man. And he would also be Paul's true child in the faith. And this was primarily because he had been led to Christ by Paul when Paul visited Lystra on the first missionary journey. But it was also because of how Paul continued, even after that, to pour into his life during the many years that followed. And for Timothy, that was such a blessing because the way that his father is described in the imperfect tense in this passage suggests that he had already passed on. And so Timothy, a young man still in great need of a father figure, was blessed to find one in Paul. Now, Timothy's father had been a Greek, while his mother, Eunice, was Jewish. And so Timothy had access to both cultures, which was a very important qualification for missionary service at that time. But another thing I don't want you to overlook is the fact that his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois were both believers. And that just reminds me that behind most successful men are righteous mothers and grandmothers who have equipped, trained, and prayed their men into the positions they end up in. And you know, I can attest that personally. My mom has and still is a constant source of encouragement to me. And my grandmothers, both of whom are still living, praise God, are constantly praying for me. And only eternity will show how many pitfalls I have avoided, how many physical and spiritual attacks have been driven back by the ministry of those women, and even how much of my ministry itself I owe to all three of these mighty women of God interceding for me. Now, we don't know Eunice's story or Lois's story, but what we do know is that they no doubt were in Lystra during that time and would have witnessed Paul and Barnabas's persecution and Paul's near death by stoning. And yet here they seem willing, amazingly, to allow Timothy to join with Paul in his ministry. And so if we knew nothing else about them, that alone would tell us that these women were mighty women of faith and obedience. Women who also, like Paul, felt that weight of glory. And the reason that we know their names today is because of their faithfulness to release this young man, Timothy, into the dangerous calling of following God. Now, because Timothy had been mentored and discipled by Lois and Eunice, he no doubt carried over into his own life their righteous character, because we read in verse 2 that he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul sees great potential in him and therefore chooses him as an active disciple. And so after being commissioned by the elders of the local assembly of believers, he joins Paul and Silas, and the course of his life becomes set. Now remember earlier, I talked about how significant it is that Paul and Silas entered Asia Minor from the opposite direction, because if they had followed the same route as they did on the first missionary journey, they would not have come to Lystra until the very end of their trip. But God's providence was at work in an amazing way, because Timothy, now that they come to Lystra first, he can now help them for the entirety of their trip. And so God is showing that even when he calls us into difficult circumstances, we often find his greatest blessings in and during those situations. You know, in looking back at when God called me to go to seminary, I remember I wanted to wait. Partially because the idea of seminary seemed way too daunting to me. I mean, I imagined myself surrounded by scholarly geniuses who would just kind of leave me in the dust. But my grandparents, because my family was in China during that time, they were staying in my parents' home, which was near Asbury College, which is where I had been going to college. And I visited them, and I told them of my intention to wait a while. But just like Eunice and Lois did with Timothy, they encouraged me, saying, "Don't wait." They even drove me down all the way from Kentucky to Jackson, Mississippi, to visit Wesley Biblical Seminary to kind of warm me up to the idea of starting seminary right away. And after receiving assurance that this was God's will for my life and that I could do this, I joined that very fall. And you know, that was a big step of faith for me. And reflecting back, I think about how I never would have met my wife if I had chosen to wait. And I would have missed out, therefore, on the very person who has been the greatest source of God's blessing in my life. Now, I don't know who is Paul and who is Timothy in our relationship, but what I do know is that my life suddenly got a whole lot better after I met her. Even my grades made a marked improvement after she came into my life, because of both her belief in me and also her constant stream of encouragement, which has never stopped, praise God. Well, Timothy was kind of like that for Paul, and Paul was that for Timothy. God knew the right time and the right place to bring them together. Now, immediately following Timothy's appointment to this ministry, Paul has Timothy circumcised. And some have criticized Paul for that because they say that he ended up falling into the same heresy that he had fought against at the Jerusalem Council, that circumcision was necessary for salvation. But nowhere does it say or even imply that he did this in order that Timothy might be saved. Rather, it says in verse 3 that he did this because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. You see, circumcision was the number one condition that was seen as absolutely necessary for every Jew. And if Timothy did not become circumcised, all the Jews that they would meet on their missionary endeavors would assume that Timothy was renouncing his Jewish heritage. And that would place a stumbling block in the way of reaching those Jews with the message of Christianity, which, remember, is not a brand new religion, but a fulfillment of Judaism. Also keep in mind that Paul always started his ministry in the local synagogues. And if Timothy wanted full access to those synagogues, he needed to be circumcised. And so it had nothing to do with salvation, but rather doing what is necessary in order to reach people for Jesus. That is so key to understand about this passage. Listen to the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 22, because it really encapsulates Paul's thinking on this. He writes, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." Now, having said this, I want to point out that later, Paul does refuse to circumcise Titus. And why is that? Well, it's because Titus, unlike Timothy, was a full-blooded Gentile. And so to have circumcised him would have been to capitulate to legalism. And so what that reveals to us is that something might be okay to do in one culture and wrong in another culture. Right in one situation, but wrong in another. It's not always the action itself, but what the meaning is behind that action. Kind of like kicking a door down. Well, that's wrong to do if you're trying to break into somebody's house to rob them. But it's a good thing to do if that house is on fire and you're trying to save them. Well, so with Timothy, Paul circumcises him as a means of avoiding unnecessary offense in order to bring salvation to the Jews, to not create a barrier, an unnecessary one, between the Jews and the gospel. But in the circumstance with Titus, he's showing that we cannot, when it comes to the essentials of the gospel, capitulate in any way. Because to capitulate there would be to rob people of the essential teaching of Christianity, which is that salvation is by grace through faith alone. And that message, that salvation is by grace through faith alone, that was what they were bringing to all the cities that they were ministering to. As it says, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to those cities, for observance, the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Now, what we can't miss in our study today is this passage's emphasis on what these early Christians were willing to lay on the altar for the sake of the gospel. I mean, Timothy was willing to leave his entire life in order to embrace a ministry that was, think about it, I mean, permeated with danger and uncertainty. And perhaps even more amazingly, Timothy's mother Eunice, and his grandmother Lois were willing to release him into that ministry. They were like military moms and wives releasing their men into danger for the sake of a greater cause. But that's what it means to be a Christian, to lay it all down for the sake of Christ and the gospel. And I hope that you and I will be just as faithful. Let's remember that we are called to be 100% sold out to Jesus. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.